the message goes to the kitchen even before the guest has asked for the dish.
Nice.
The chef remembers that he likes healthy food. So your preferences are already set into play.
Welcome to Circe Health Pod once again. Today again we have Chef Michael here with us, and we will be discussing something that hopefully is more practical, and that is when you are trying to be healthy and trying to be more plant-based, what is it that you can order in a restaurant? When you go out to eat in a restaurant, what can you do there? How do you order stuff? So without further ado, let's just begin asking Chef Michael what he thinks about what the process could be. So what are your thoughts on, you know, ordering in a restaurant, first of all?
Well, the first thing is that be it vegan or plant-based, you kind of already know what you want to eat. And you are often going to a restaurant where you may or may not know what they are about to serve you. So the first thing to do is always do some research. Look up the menus online. See the kind of foods that you like. Discuss it with the family so that even before you reach there, you already have an idea of what you want. The second step to do is to phone and talk to the management or to the captain or whoever picks up the phone and tell them that you are coming, you've already made a booking, so that they know in advance what your likes and your preferences are. And so the first thing I always ask is, because I'm also allergic to a few things, is
yes,
tell my allergy preferences. So they know before you are coming that, like we all know, the best tempura is cooked in peanut oil, right? And I'm allergic to peanut oil.
Yeah.
And I love tempura. So I don't want to land up at the restaurant and then tell them, you know, this is the situation.
Yeah.
So you have to tell them your likes and how they should make it to you to suit your body. So the kind of oils that you use. If you're going to a cheaper restaurant, they you invariably use mixed oils. Or they'll use palm oil. And palm oil, we all know, is bad for
you. Very bad for you.
So I always ask, what is the kind of oils that you're using in the restaurant? Is it is it sunflower oil? Is it peanut oil? Is it butter or ghee? If they're cooking in butter and ghee, that also is a no-no.
Will they tell you in greater detail, or you think they'll kind of like?
They do.
Okay, great.
They do, because if you're going to call during busy hours, they're not going to tell you. Call just before the restaurant is opening.
Nice. Okay.
Like 6 o'clock in the evening, the staff are just getting into work. So they're not going to not tell you. But if you're going to call during the busy hours, no.
Forget about it. Okay. Okay, great. Now, you had said something about tempura that reminds me. Maybe can we just talk about a few different, like typical, I mean, let's just restrict ourselves to India and say, okay, the typical kind of cuisines you get here. Like in Indian cooking, Chinese and all so on.
We are very familiar with our Indian cooking, or Indian Chinese as we call it. And even Indian Chinese is full of oil. If you eat Chinese cuisine, the real authentic Chinese cuisine, there's very little oil to it. And in Indian Chinese, you've got that Szechuan sauce, which is dripping with oil. You've got so many other sauces which are laden with oil. They'll give you a lot of Hakka noodles tossed in oil. So it's always good to tell them in advance. With Indian cuisine, it gets even worse. There's a lot of ghee, there's a lot of cream, all these make the food very rich, very heavy. And especially summertime, when you're eating a lot of heavy food, it's going to have an adverse effect on your body. But again, if you're a very sedentary life, you don't need that heavy food. Indian food can be light, it can be flavorful. So talk to the management about it, that this is the kind of food that you are wanting.
What about Italian or European foods and American foods and all? Where does that fall into this spectrum?
Again, like if I'm talking about oil, whether they're using butter, cream, olive oil, all these play an important role in the sauces that you're making. The old school sauces were all made with a lot of flour in it.
Mm.
Modern day sauces, we thicken the sauces with a lot of vegetable purees.
Mm-hmm.
So I make a bechamel sauce, I don't add flour to it. I add
wow.
cauliflower puree to it to wow. thicken it. And there's no change in the flavor.
Nice. Mm.
So you're giving a healthier alternative of the sauce to a client.
Mm-hmm.
Flour, as we all know, is one of the five poisons.
Yeah.
But I don't know if I should be saying it here, but yeah. And in India, where we go, everything is flour-based.
Yeah, yeah.
You're eating bread, you're mm-hmm. eating bhel puri, which is has a flour base. The matris are a flour base. Yeah. You eat samosas, yeah. which are flour-based. Most of our street food is all flour-based yeah. and heavily deep-fried.
Yeah. I want to add a medical part to this, and that is what Chef is talking about are all very refined, what we call ultra-refined processed foods. So what happens with those is that there are a lot of medical conditions that are completely contraindicated. What I mean by contraindicated means you should not be having these things if you have, for example, diabetes. Now you might say diabetes is caused by sugar. That's a completely different aspect, and there are a bunch of videos that we've done especially for that. But I just want to completely concur with the chef here and say that a processed, ultra high processed grains, you know, which is maida or flour, whatever you call it, is definitely not good for you. But there are some substitutes that you can. Can you ask for those substitutes in restaurants?
Sure, you can, because in some of the restaurants which I'm working with, instead of just having naans and rotis, we also have the naans and rotis made with a lot of millet flour in it.
Mm-hmm.
So the substitute is there.
I see.
And what happens is, till you don't ask for the substitute, the restaurant is not going to give it to you.
I learned something. Okay.
Yeah. So restaurants will change the menus depending on what the customer's preferences are of the day.
Mm.
And till the customer doesn't say, this is what I want, they're not going to change the menu.
Yeah.
Nor are the chefs going to be inclined to change the menu.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of Indian chefs are taught, we cook for what the customer wants.
Yeah.
The day has to change where you come to eat the chef's food.
Yeah, I know.
And if a chef starts changing the menu, and you're going to eat the chef's food, you'll automatically see a healthier choice on the table or on the menu.
Yeah. And we haven't even got to the restaurant yet. We are still talking about calling them on the phone, right?
Yes, still you're on the phone.
Wow. Okay, great. Those are very good tips. What about anything else that we should keep in mind, you know, as we're discussing it on the phone, or you think
I think this is about it.
Okay.
This is about it.
Okay.
Then the second step is when you reach
the
door, the doorman.
Yeah.
Actually, the doorman and the hostess gets the most feedback, which they give at the restaurant meetings.
I see.
And when you talk, because they have the most time on their hands to talk to you. Even the restaurant waiter or the captain is running around.
Yeah.
A feedback form gets lost.
Mm-hmm.
But when you have a verbal conversation, you're standing at the counter 10, 15 minutes waiting for your table.
Mm.
You can either be talking to your family or you could be talking to the hostess.
Mm.
And that's when they get the feedback about guest preferences. But I have my favorite restaurants.
Mm.
And whenever I go there, hey, chef, you've come again.
Mm.
You want your favorite dish or you want this.
Nice.
They're trained to remember.
Mm.
And you know, sometimes I've seen several times when a guest walks into the restaurant and there's a sense of recognition between the hostess and them.
Mm.
And the message goes to the kitchen even before the guest has asked for the dish.
Nice.
So XYZ has come.
Mm.
The chef remembers that he likes healthy food. So your preferences are already set into play.
So it's a good idea to go frequent restaurants that you find healthier food at often. Right? So okay. So that's a good tip to remember. I mean, we should try to do that, because we just try to find different restaurants. But I think if we find something good, why not at least I'm not saying stick to it all the time, but I guess
more frequently. Yeah, because they see you coming back to the restaurant. Then they want to please you even more.
If
you're a one-time customer, he's,
I
need to get him at least once a month to my restaurant.
Mm.
He's a high-paying customer.
Mm.
I had this customer who used to always buy a 10 or 15,000 rupee bottle of wine.
Mm.
I made sure that customer came in at least once a month.
That's a good thing to know. So as far as now that you're sitting down and you're looking through the menu, what any thoughts on what we can expect from the person that's either describing us the the cuisine of the day or what?
So sometimes you ask the waiters, tell us your preferences. And as a chef, I always make sure that my waiters and my staff have tasted every dish on the table going out. Because they are the salesperson.
Yeah.
Another thing I used to do was sometimes to tell the waiters, today you're not serving any of the guests. My chefs will be cooking and taking the food out to the table.
Wow.
So that way it's a first-hand experience with the guests that the cooks even have. Today's XYZ cook's turn to take the food out. He talks to the guests.
Yeah.
He explains the dish. And that's the second barrier you have to cross. More than just reading the menu
card.
Menu card is just going to give you a one-line description.
Correct.
But till you're really talking to the the second one is order your starters and then order your main course.
I see.
People will order the starters and the main course and then they realize, oh, the starters were so much, now I can't eat the main course.
Yeah.
So I'm just stuffing myself.
Yeah.
Order my starters, see the portion sizes. Like if I were in America, I'd probably be full on just the starters
alone.
Because the portion sizes are huge. So you also have to know the country and the place you are in. Don't just say, okay, I'll have the starter and then I'll have the main course. No. And then I'm taking the main course home in a doggy bag.
Yeah.
So you have to know the location, the place, and then you see what is the healthier side of it. Not all the expensive dishes on the menu are the healthier options.
Yes, we noticed that. We definitely have noticed that.
Go for the salads, go for the soups, go for the some of the starters are healthy. Try and avoid all the fried items. Stay away from the fried items. Stay away from the breads. Stay away from the naans, the rotis.
Yeah.
These are the things that fill you up. And then you don't actually eat your food.
Because
you're so stuffed on the bread. That you're kind of eating less of what is actually healthy for you.
Right.
Also see that when I'm ordering, those who like non-veg per se, is there twice the proportion of vegetables on that same plate?
That is correct. Yep.
Because that is, you need the roughage to digest the meats. And even if you're on a veg, completely vegetarian, don't just go and say, oh, where's the paneer? Because paneer is not your protein source.
There's a video on that. So just wanted to plug our video. There's a video on paneer being a source of protein. Go ahead, sorry.
You also see how much of that meal is just milk-based or dairy-based.
Right.
If it is more milk or dairy-based, even if it is vegetarian, we all know milk and dairy is not the healthier option. So tell them that I am not going to be eating milk and dairy. So hence, no butter, no ghee, things like that. And it's also about grooming our staff. We groom our chefs. We groom the waiters so that they relate to the guests.
I noticed that one thing is really good in India is that if you just say that you are either allergic or allergic actually will work in other countries also, but you can say that this is my preference. My preference is to have less oil. They really comply. I mean, in other places, I've noticed that, if I use the word allergy, at least in the US, what happens is they are scared of getting sued. So they will make sure that your peanuts and all are not there. However, if I say that, it's my preference to have less oil, they don't care. They'll just dump a lot of oil and bring it to you. However, in India, I've noticed that there is that little nuanced, okay, I heard you. And, you will be coming back and I'll be facing you and, I'll have eye contact with you next time around. So I don't want to give you something that you don't like. So that's very good. Okay, great. So we've finished with that. Now, is there anything specific? I mean, I was thinking in terms of in the cuisines, what we typically do is in Indian cuisine, for example, North Indian cuisine, we try to go for the dals, the rotis. And I guess now that I've learned that I could potentially ask for some other like bajra or, some other kind of rotis also. That's great. What about some other cuisines? I mean, can we, think in terms of like what might be healthier items in there rather than go for the top part that are more expensive? And I know you mentioned some like the not necessarily the top ones are the healthiest.
Right? Yeah, not necessarily are the healthiest.
Yeah,
and I think you should look for that.
Mm.
Look for the items where you know they're going to be using a lot of cream in the gravy or butter in the gravy. Go for the tomato-based gravies.
Mm.
Go for the don't go for the most expensive items on the dish. Don't go for things like because you know they're going to be using a lot of cheese, cream. These are the things that make it expensive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the thing. You know, people think that being vegan or plant-based is more expensive. Actually, if you go to a restaurant and order these simpler dishes, you'll come out healthy. You know, you'll have a healthier meal. You'll feel less, you know, weigh in your stomach and your pocket, in your pocketbook, right? Both are great. So I think, I don't know if I'm missing anything. I just wanted to ask you about desserts and stuff. That's the other topic.
Yeah, so desserts. And so a lot of chefs today are creating desserts which are without milk, without cream, without a lot of cheese in it. They're using substitutes like almond milk, oat milk. They're using vegan cheese. They're using healthier options now. Even the chocolate that we're using, we're sourcing the right kind of chocolate. Not chocolates which are full of
milk solids.
Milk solids.
Yeah.
Things like that. And dark chocolate is the best.
There's not a lot of
milk solid.
Yeah.
So creating dishes, and it's easier for us in India because India predominantly is vegetarian.
Yeah.
It is just knowing the difference of what is plant-based and vegan.
Great.
From vegetarian.
Mm-hmm.
Once you know the difference and once the cooks know the difference, it's a cakewalk.
Wonderful.
And, you know, if you look at sushi took 10 years and now it's in virtually every restaurant.
Yeah.
Plant-based is what? A year old, two years old.
Yeah.
So it's going to take its time.
Yeah.
And lucky for us, we are already in the game early.
Good. We have a lot of great tips for our listeners here. Any other parting comments or thoughts on this?
One parting thing is, eat well, eat healthy, and eat in the right proportion.
Mm.
Don't overdo it just because you've tasted it, you've enjoyed it. You don't have to overdo it.
Yeah.
And come back again the second time to that restaurant.
So
I think that's the best thing to do.
It's a good tip to remember because a lot of times we've noticed that people gravitate towards looking at the plate and saying, is there enough food in it for me or not? And, you know, you should try to, it takes some time because right now if you take me to a restaurant where the portion size is tiny but it's delicious, I will enjoy that a lot more.
Yeah, so, there's that old grandmother saying that after the meal you should be able to feel like you could eat one katori more, or a bread roll more.
Yeah.
There should be that much space left in your stomach.
Yeah. So it's a good thought. That's a good parting thought. Thank you so much, Chef, for sharing your inside scoop on how to be healthy in a restaurant. We actually have a cheat sheet called a Health Ninja. If you go to our website and take the quiz, it'll automatically send you this cheat sheet. But I think this video is a lot more than that cheat sheet. Cheat sheet is like, you know, how to order from a menu and stuff like that. But I think what Chef Michael Swamy has talked about today has a lot more in-depth coverage. And like I said, there's like a insider's secret on restaurants. So thank you so much, Jeff.
That's a pleasure. And see you guys next time.
See ya.
We really hope you enjoyed our conversation. Can you think about one thing or an idea that you can start to introduce into your own life that will help make your life healthier and less stressful?
If you enjoyed today's episode, we'd really appreciate it if you can take a few seconds to share the podcast with your friends and family. Thank you so much for listening. Have a wonderful week.
And always remember, your health is literally in your own hands. Making lifestyle changes is not an easy task, but we promise you will be aptly rewarded with a long, healthy, and disease-free life.